Well, hallelujah. You got to take a little look at a part of our trip to Madrid, Spain. One of the things we did there was run a VBS for them, and we saw kids and their families come to know Jesus. We had an incredible time when we were there. For those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Tommy. I am the young adults pastor here. Some of you guys, thank you. Some of you guys know me as the young adults pastor. Some of you guys know me as the sign guy. I stand out on the road. And I'm trying to get a hold of you. Some of you see me. Some of you pretend like you don't. You know, you see me. I love it because I love interacting with people. I love it. So I'm really excited to be doing this. But I love interacting. And so, each week, I don't know if you've noticed, but I try to come up with different moves when I'm out there. You know, so it started off just like, waving, and got really into it and, just jumping and dancing, and there's this trick that I see the guys on the corners do where they they spin them. I don't know how they do it. They just whatever. And so I invented my own move. It's called try it and drop it. So that's really fun. I love that move. And then this might be my favorite right here. Some of you guys know this one, right? Some of you guys know. I point at you, and then you point right back at me, and I'm like, yeah, and it just, you get pumped up. I get pumped up, and it's the best. Last weekend, I actually tried a new move. And it was pretty fun. What I did was I held the sign in this left hand, and with this right hand, I went like this, right? And people were like, what is he doing? And I was like, I'm trying to show you I don't have a muscle. That's what I'm trying to do. Some girls drove by, and I can't see who people are. Unless I recognize the car, I can't see who you are, okay, ahead of time. So these I was just doing this, and these girls were looking at me, and they gave me this weird face. I was trying to flirt with them. I'm like, no, I'm married. I'm just having fun. You know what I mean? I'm trying to show you, I got nothing here, So I think I'm going to retire that move. Man, I love interacting. I love preaching. So I'm just pumped right now. I'm pumped to preach. And I love preaching so much that I love to make a game out of preaching. Levi, who's our youth pastor, him and I play this game sometimes. It's called Create a Sermon Out of Anything. And we'll play it during lunch sometimes. We'll be eating. And Levi will drop some of his spaghetti sauce on his shirt, and his shirt will get stained. And he'll be like, man, I got a stain on my shirt now. I'll be like, bro, you know what was stained? The cross. Do you know him? And he's like, yeah, I'm a youth pastor. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I'll be like, dude, I'm so thirsty. Man, I need a drink. He'll be like, bro, you need to come to the well that never runs dry. Come on, somebody. So I love preaching. So I'm pumped. And, I don't just love preaching for me. I love preaching for you. And what I mean by that is I actually want to teach you today how to preach. Is that okay? See, in church, we have a lot of receivers, but not a lot of preachers. And we need more preachers. I'm not just talking about people that stand on a stage. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that go and they preach the gospel everywhere they go. And their work. Yes, somebody over here, they got it already. You know where I'm going. We need preachers. We need people that want to preach, that are going to preach the word of God everywhere they go, not just from a stage. And the scripture that I want to read to you today comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And this is a book. The book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth. And if you know anything about them, they were messed up. And Paul is writing to them, and he's like, hey, guys, here's some things you need to know. And in this section, he talks about preaching. He's saying, we preach, and he's including them in this. And there's four things that he keys in on that I want to talk to you about today, things that we as the body of Christ need to preach, not just me, but you too, that we need to join in together and preach to ourselves, but also preach to the world around us. So are you ready to hear those things? Let's get into it. The first thing is, I preach peace in Christ. This is what it says in chapter 2 here. He says, when I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. He says, but I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. Now, he says he had no peace of mind there, no peace of mind. However, we later learn that he does have peace because right afterwards he says, but thank God. And we're going to get into that. But another version says he had no rest in his spirit. And I want to tell you, God brings peace first to you. You get the peace of God. You receive the peace of God, the rest of God. And then God uses you to bring that to other people. God wants you to bring his peace because people need his peace. This is what Philippians chapter 4 says. In verse 6 it says, don't worry about some things. Anybody paying attention? No, it says anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience, what does it say? God's what? peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we go in church, we're like, Tommy, I don't have peace. Well, I want to ask you, have you prayed? His word says you can have peace. Well, I've been praying. Well, keep praying. Keep praying because I believe that God's word is true. So if God's word is true, if there's no error in God's word, if it's true, then if we don't have peace, it's not because God doesn't want to give it. It's because we're doing something. We're doing something. It's not God's problem. It's our problem. I think what sometimes we do is we pray for peace, and I've done this. We pray for peace. We're like, oh, Lord, I'm just in this tough season of life. I need some peace right now. Give it to me. And he goes, boom, you got it. But then we try to fight him on it. We're like, but God, do you know about this? Do you know about my job? Do you know about my finances? And then we start bringing worry into our prayer, and then we lose the peace. And God's like, hey, pray for peace and believe that you received it. Sometimes we forget that we have to believe that we received it, and we got to choose to walk in peace because we see right here that the peace of God is ready for us to guard our hearts and to guard our minds in Christ Jesus. It's ready and it's available. Do you have peace? Have you prayed for peace? Believe before you receive. I told you I want to preach with you today. I want to teach you how to preach. And so what I do sometimes in my life is I preach to myself. When I'm, looking in the mirror or when I'm just going through my day, I preach to myself. Because there are times where I do not feel the peace of God. Life is hard. It is hard. And you go through different things, and we need God's peace. So this is what I do. I tell myself, Tommy, you have peace because you know Jesus. You're in Christ. God says, hey, believe you receive. I believe. I'm receiving. I choose peace. That's what I do. So I want to teach you to preach that with me. Is that okay? All right. So say after me, I have peace. Because I have prayed, I believe, and I receive God's peace. Simple as that. You just preach to yourself. Congratulations. And you can use that anytime, anywhere. You preach yourself. What you're doing is you're speaking. When you're preaching to yourself, you're speaking the word of God over your life. And the word of God is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's powerful. That's what you're doing when you're preaching peace to yourself. And God gives us his peace, and he gives us his rest. And maybe you're here today. I want you to know that the peace and rest of God is available to you. It's available. I once heard a preacher say, and I'll never forget this. He said, true rest is not found in sleep. It's found in Christ. Think about that for a second. Yeah, that's good. When you go on a vacation, a lot of us go on vacation because we're tired, right? We need to get away. We want to come back rejuvenated. We want to come back feeling good and well-rested. At least that's why I go on vacation a lot of times. But how many times have we gone on vacation and we feel more tired than we did before we left? That's because rest is not found in vacation. It's found in Jesus. Some of y'all are in here. You probably want to go on a vacation. What you need is a vacation with Jesus. That's what you need because God will give you that rest. See, when you have the peace and rest of God, you can bring that to other people. You don't have to look far to see that there's some people that need some peace. There's some people that need some rest. Go to Walmart. You know what I'm talking about. Even an exciting place like the mall, you see women there, they're ready to shop, and they don't look excited. I'm like, don't you guys love this? Like, I don't get it. I walk by women, and they're just like, they're just on their way to their store. I'm like, man, where is the peace and rest of God? You can see it on people's faces. You can see when people are alive, and you can see when they're dead. And they need the peace of God, and Jesus is ready to give it. Because when we're forgiven, when we know Jesus, when we accept him, we have peace with God. And we need to give that peace to ourselves and then to other people. The next thing is I preach freedom in Christ. The next verse says, but thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now you may read that and go, how in the world does that convey peace or freedom? Paul is saying he's a captive here. Well, the key to this verse is actually found in the last three words, Christ's triumphal procession. Now, when Paul is writing this to his audience, he's writing to a culture that understands what a triumphal procession is. And what it was is, in Rome, they would have this thing called a triumphal procession, which was a parade, okay? And they would throw these lavish, gaudy, extravagant parades when they had just won a significant military victory. So the Caesar or the commander of the army would lead this parade, and they would have their soldiers, and they'd be marching along, and they'd be so excited, and they'd be pumped. We won! We won! Victory! Victory! And the whole city would get involved, and it would be exciting. But then if you look in the parade, if you look and see who's marching in the parade, you would see the soldiers, but you would also see people that were slaves. They were walking in this parade. And the slaves were actually people that were just conquered. So they would take the people that they just conquered, they would take some of them, and they would throw them in this parade, and they would parade them around the city and show everybody, look who we conquered. And if you were one of these soldiers, this was amazing for you. But if you were a slave, this was horrific. Because what they do at the very end of the parade, when they're done celebrating, they would take those slaves that they made walk in this parade, and they would slaughter them before everybody. And that sounds awful to us. But to them, it was a sign of victory. It was a sign of, hey, we did the conquering. We weren't conquered. This was great. So when Paul uses this language and says, Christ's triumphal procession, the people he's writing to know exactly what he's saying. What he's saying is, hey, I'm not actually a slave. I'm free. Because here's the thing. You're a slave of something. You're either a slave to sin and death, or you're a slave to Christ. You're one of the two. And Christ is saying, Paul is saying, I'm a slave to Christ, which means I'm free from sin and death. I can have the peace of God. I can have the freedom of God because I'm not a slave to sin anymore. And somebody here today needs to know that you can be free. Somebody needs to know that you can experience freedom in Jesus' name. Somebody in here has been struggling for a long time. And I want you to know you can be free, you can stay free, and you can live free. When you're a slave, it's Christ. See, Paul is saying that he is the slave and Christ is the victor. And he talks about this, a slave of Christ, throughout the scriptures. And what he is a slave. But the things that are produced in his life are not lust and lying and bitterness and unforgiveness. Those are not the things that are being produced as a slave to sin anymore. Now he's a slave to righteousness. Which means the things that are produced in his life are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the things that are produced in his life. Those are the things he's a slave to. He's a free man, and you can be free. This is what Galatians 5:1 says. It says, for freedom, Christ set us free. It says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Christ set us free for freedom's sake. You can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Because when you're a slave to Christ, you submit your life to him. You take away your desires and you replace them with his desires. You put your selfishness aside and you say, Jesus, I want everything you have for me. You know, I said that at the end of the parade, they would kill those who are enslaved. And I believe that Paul was talking about his death. We know that he would live for Jesus up until the day he died. But I think he is also talking about his spiritual death, meaning that he would die to himself every day. He would say, hey, not my will be done, God, but your will be done, because I'm one of your prisoners. I'm one of your prisoners. And I want to tell you, when you are tempted, because just because we're Christians doesn't mean temptation goes away. When you are tempted, and we all get tempted, I want you to know that you can preach freedom to yourself. Just like Paul is preaching freedom. He says, I'm a slave of Christ. This is what you can preach. This is, when I'm tempted, this is what I preach sometimes to myself. I say, I am free. I do not have to do this. I do not want to do this. I belong to Jesus. So, hey, let's try that out. You ready? I am free. I do not have to do this. I do not want to do this. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I love a good hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Amen. Hey, and I said that Paul is a slave. And on one hand, he is a slave. But on the other hand, I told you there were soldiers. And Paul is also a soldier in Christ's parade. Because let me tell you, when you are free, God wants to use you as a soldier to bring freedom to others. I said before, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. And we know people, we all know people that are not slaves to Christ. They're not free. They're a slave to their bondage. They're a slave to sin. And see, we as soldiers can go into war and we can rescue them, because they're in the kingdom of darkness. They're not in the kingdom of light. Their parade is not being led by Christ. It's being led by somebody else, and we know him as Satan, the enemy of our souls. So if they're not with Jesus, they're being led by him, and they need to be free from that. And you and I have the keys to their freedom. It's found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? There's freedom in Jesus Christ. As you proclaim freedom to yourself, you can proclaim freedom to others. Next, I preach life in Christ. I preach life in Christ. This is what it says, continuing on. It says, now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives, check this out, are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we're a life-giving perfume. Check out that rhyme. God wants us to know it. I said before in these parades, you know, they were huge and the city would celebrate. And one of the things they would do is they would light incense and the city would fill with this aroma. And it was the smell of victory, the smell of life. Because guess what? We weren't conquered. We did the conquering. The smell of life would fill that city. And we too, in Christ's triumphal procession, when we're being led by him, we give off a fragrance. And we want our lives to smell, to reek of the life of God. You know, I really love people. And oftentimes my wife will be waiting on me to leave a party because I'll have to go and hug everybody goodbye. I love that. I love a good solid hug. One of the people, I really love hugging is Pastor Earl. Anybody know Pastor Earl? He's our seniors pastor. Anybody love a good Pastor Earl hug? I love Pastor Earl, man. He's great. One of the things he does when he hugs me, without fail, is he does this. He hugs me, right? And as he's hugging me, he goes, "Oh, bless you, Tommy." I love it. I hug him, and, you know, he's got his little Pastor Earl smell. And without a doubt, every time I walk away, I smell like Pastor Earl. And let me tell you, it's wonderful. I almost said awful. Pastor Earl, I love you. It's wonderful. I love smelling like Pastor Earl. I love taking him with me. And you guys all know people. You all know people that leave a smell. Some people leave a good smell, and some people leave a stank. You know what I'm talking about? Hopefully you're not sitting next to them right now. You're like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know when they walk into a place, and you know when they've left a place, because that smell lingers. Babies, however, have an excuse because, well, they're babies. This week, my wife and I got to babysit Paxton and Ellie, our niece and nephew. Do you guys know Paxton and Ellie? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you know Paxton and Ellie. With Paxton and Ellie, we ran into this situation. It's called a Code Brown situation. She had him too. She knows what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, I changed my first Code Brown this week. Yeah, you can give it up for me. I would love that. Yeah, I know. I was like, my wife has changed. I was like, you know what? I need to step up and be a man here. I need to take some of this poop, all right? So I stepped in, and I became the changing guy. And you know what? It was great. We were changing these diapers, and we would throw them in the trash. And one day, we had to rush Paxton and Elliot. We had to get them out of the house really quick, and we had to go somewhere. And we got them out, and we forgot to change the trash. So when we came home, let me tell you, the Code Brown hangs around, okay? Our house did not smell good. It was not ideal. You know, when Holly and I actually first started dating, she would tell me that I smelled like dirt. Still don't know to this day what that means. But she said it was, quote unquote, endearing. I think endearing is a fancy word for gross. I don't know. But she said I smelled like dirt. And any time that, you know, the woman you love and want to marry tells you you smell like dirt, well, you got to do something about it. That's good. Anybody else smell like dirt here? No, anybody? Oh, this guy, yeah, he smells like dirt. Anybody forget to put on deodorant today? Anybody want to rat out the person next to them? No. Hey, sir, right here in the brown shirt, you look like you didn't put on deodorant today. Can you come up here? Hey, welcome, ma'am. Hey, come on up here. Sir, right here. You look like you need to smell better. I need somebody from the back. Hey, I see this guy back here, very back row. Oh, yeah, you're getting pushed right now. Come on up here. You look like you smell bad, too. Come on. Come on, welcome him. Come on. These guys are gonna get a smell makeover. All right. Come on. No, you can run. You can run. You can run. Okay, he's not running. All right. Well, shouldn't have picked you. Okay. What is your name, good sir?
Don.
Don. All right, Don. Let's see how you smell, Don. Oh, he's going for it. Okay. It is not the best. Oh, okay. It is not the best. Sir, what is your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, okay. Andrew, let's see how you smell. Even worse. All right. Well, you guys need to smell better. This is my cousin. So just so you know, I'm not just picking on a random guy. And this is my best friend. So that's why I called them up, because I didn't want you guys to feel too bad for them. But guys, you guys are going to smell like me now. So let's do this. You ready? All right. You smell good? Wait, let me see. Okay, let me smell you now. Let me smell you. Oh, yeah, good. All right, good. Now, these guys, we all smell the same now, right? My wife, if she were to walk up here right now, she's not going to, but if she were, and she closed her eyes and she just smelled us, she would not be able to tell which of the three of us is me. She wouldn't be able to know. And let me tell you, just because the world doesn't see Christ, they can smell him on you. They can smell him on you if you are walking and living for him and being filled up with the Holy Spirit. And you are the fragrance of life. Thank you guys very much. Love you both. Thank you. Thank you. We smell like Jesus when we live for him, when we give him our everything. And living for him is not just living righteously and in freedom, but also proclaiming the good news. Because see, if Jesus were here physically, right, if he were here, well, first off, I'd give him the mic. But if he were here, he'd be praying for you. He'd be speaking life over you. He'd be going out into the world and reaching people for himself. Because he's Jesus. That's what he'd be doing. And Jesus isn't here. So to live for him means to live as he would live if he were here. And when we live as him, we bring the fragrance of life. I titled this message, "You Are the Fragrance of Life," because I want every single person in this room to walk out knowing that you can bring a fragrance into this room, or into not just this room, but every room you walk into the rest of your life, because you smell of the life of God, and people need it. They need it. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Hallelujah. You have been made new in him. You're a life-giving perfume. You're a life-giving cologne. That's who you are. You have the fragrance of Christ. You have a new life. See, sometimes what we do as Christians, we act like we're an upgrade instead of a whole new product. We're a new product. We're not the same. The old has gone. See, we're not like an app that you just upgrade, get the latest version. No, God has made us totally new in him. And like I said before, life is hard. And there are times where, you know, I'll be honest, there's times where I feel like, hey, man, my life, and I love Jesus, but my life is not peachy. Sometimes I think we promise, like, come to Jesus. Your life's going to be better. All your problems are going to go away. And that is a lie. If you've lived, which all of you have, you know that's a lie. God walks with us through our problems, and we have his life. Praise God for that. But our problems don't just disappear like that. I wish they did. And you may be tempted to go back to your old life. Oh, it was easier when I didn't have to wake up and go to church on Sunday. I could just sleep in. Hey, rest isn't found in sleep. It's found in Jesus. Oh, well, I have to serve again. There goes another one of my nights. I got to devote a night to church. We think like this. We think, oh, it'd be easier to go back to our old life. But the old life is gone. It's not here anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. The new life is here. And so when you're tempted to think like you used to, this is what you say. You say, I have a new life. I'm made new. The old is gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. That is preaching life in Christ. Now, we have life in Christ, but I want to tell you that there's many people that don't have life in Christ. And see, in church, we love talking about heaven. Heaven's going to be great, and it is going to be great. But we forget sometimes that there's this other place the Bible says people are going to go to if they don't know Jesus, because they're so consumed with their own selfishness. They can't go to heaven. They don't know Jesus. They haven't been washed by the blood of the Lamb. They've been consumed by their own lust and passions, and They go to this place called hell, and we don't know much about hell, but I know that the Bible talks about it, and it's not a place I want to go. It's a separation. It's an eternal separation from God, away from God's goodness and his mercy and his peace. And it's not a place we want to go, but the reality is that people that don't know Jesus, who haven't been saved, they're still carrying their sin, and their sin is going to take them where selfishness goes, and that's to hell. And we as Christians who have the life of Jesus, hear me now. Don't fade away now. Hear me now. We as Christians have the life of Christ, and we have got to do something about it. We have his life. What are we doing keeping it to ourselves? It was never meant to be kept to ourselves. We have got to spread his life because there are people that are dying and going to hell. I got on Facebook yesterday, and the first thing I saw was a friend of mine whose younger brother, younger than me, had just passed away in a car accident. Everybody dies, and you never know what day is going to be your last. What are you doing to bring the people around you closer to Jesus? We should leave people closer to Jesus than they were before we encountered them. They need to repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ, turn away from their old life and follow him, be made new in him. When we were in Spain, one of the things we did was we did a lot of evangelism, and we went on a prayer walk one day where we were specifically going to just pray for certain areas. And as we were praying, the Lord was speaking to me and saying, Tommy, hey, this is an opportunity for you to talk to people too. So I was like, okay, Lord. It's like, show me who you want me to talk to. So we got on a subway, and the subways are kind of like they are if you've been on the subway in New York City or somewhere like that. They're packed, and I got kind of separated from the bunch. I was on one end, and they were on the other end, and I didn't have anybody that speaks Spanish, and I don't speak much Spanish. So the extent of my Spanish is hola, pretty much, you know? So I look across from me, and I see this lady, and I can tell that she's of another faith by the way that she's dressed. And all of a sudden, the compassion of God just fills me. I'm like, God, I know you want me to reach this woman. How do I reach this woman? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Tommy, just share me with her. Speak what Spanish you know. I'm like, Lord, I don't know much Spanish, and there's nobody around. And he goes, you know enough. I said, okay, Lord, tell me what my time is. So he said, wait. I just felt him say, wait, okay. All right, I'm waiting. So the subway stops, and I feel the Lord's like, now's your time. Now's your time. And so I turn like I'm going to go get off, but then I turn back, and I walk towards her, and I reach out my hand, and I just get her attention, and she all of a sudden just looks up at me. She's looking at her phone. All of a sudden, she looks up at me and gives her attention, and I look into her eyes, and I say, Jesucristo te ama, which means Jesus Christ loves you. She's like, she kind of got shocked for a second that I would say that to her. And I turned and just walked right off the subway. That was my encounter with her. And, you know, I don't know what happened that day, but I believe she's the closest to Jesus that she's ever been. And I believe that God is going to do something in her life. And I want to tell you, you don't have to go to Spain, or you don't have to leave the country. You don't have to go anywhere else. You're on a mission trip right now. Everywhere you go is a missions field. The second you leave this building, even in this room, this is a missions field. There may be people in this room that need the life that you have. There may be people in this room that don't know Jesus yet. There may be people that need Jesus, even though they already have Jesus. They need more of him. They need your encouragement. There's a missions field everywhere you go. You're on the mission trip the rest of your life. You're on a mission trip. And lastly, I preach with sincerity and authority. It says, and this last scripture says, and who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like many hucksters or salespeople who preach for personal profit. No, he says, we preach. That's all of us. That includes you. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. And in all of this preaching, we need to remember that our motivation is not to get anything out of people. Our motivation is to share the truth in love. That's our motivation, because they need to know the truth. They need to know the love of Christ. But not only that, we have to remember that we have the authority of Jesus inside of us. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have his authority. And let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, he wants to come out of you. See, we get filled up and then we pour out. We don't get filled up to like have a good experience and then smile. No, we get filled up to have a good experience, smile, and bring that experience to everybody else. God is in you and he is wanting to come out of you. And some of you guys have kept him in so long. A lot of times in church, we forget that the Holy Spirit is in us. We think like the Holy Spirit, oh yeah, he's around us. No, he is in you. If you know Jesus, he is in you. This is what Romans 8:11 says. Check this out. I love this. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Hold on, what? What? you're telling me the Spirit that raised, think about that, that raised Jesus, think about Jesus, a dead man rising to life, that same power, that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus lives inside of you. What are you doing with him? He wants to come out of you. So that same Spirit dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in you. It's time to act like it. We don't have time. We don't have time to be ashamed. We don't have time to be afraid because there's people all around us that are dying and they're going to hell if we're not telling them about Jesus. They're dying in their sins. And that should scare the hell out of them. Because it scared the hell out of us. It's important. We have the life of Christ. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. God is in you and he is begging. He's begging to come out of you. He's begging to come out of you and reveal himself to the world through you. Years ago, I knew a pastor and he told this story. He was working as a pastor and he worked as a pastor, but he also worked as a construction worker during the week. And he was working on a Friday, and one of his coworkers, we'll call him Bob. His coworker, he really felt like the Holy Spirit was like, "Hey, go talk to Bob, share the gospel with him, and invite him to church." And he was going, and then he saw Bob with a group of people, and he was like, "Ah, God," he's like, "he's in a conversation. This is weird. I'm going to have to pull him aside, and I don't want to do that. I just feel uncomfortable with this." So he just went home and didn't share the good news with him. The weekend came and went, and then he came back on Monday, and he was talking to another coworker, and he's like, "Hey, have you seen Bob today?" And the guy's like, "You haven't heard?" And he said, "No, what is there to hear?" And he said, "Bob killed himself over the weekend." And this pastor was filled with such regret. He said, "I have the life of Christ in me, and I didn't share it because I was too afraid. I kept it in." God doesn't want you to keep him in. He wants you to let him out today. Would you stand with me? The prayer workers are going to come at this time, and the people that are serving communion can come. I just want to pray with you right now. I believe the Lord is here. He's doing something right now. I feel him. His presence is here. His fragrance is here. And he's working. He's moving. And he's tugging on some of your hearts. Actually, I believe he's tugging on all of your hearts. Some of you are aware of it and some of you may not be. But I want to encourage you to open your heart right now to him. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you used to know Jesus and you walked away from Jesus, or you know you haven't been living for him and you want to come back and start smelling like Jesus again and living for him. Or maybe you know Jesus, but you've been keeping him in, and God is putting this on your heart. It's you feel it right now. You're like, "I got to let him out." Or maybe God is working on you in some other way, but I believe God is working and I want to pray with you. So I just encourage you, we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray, and I would encourage you to, I'm going to ask everybody to pray this with me. And I tell you, if you're sincere about this prayer, you mean this prayer with all your heart, even though you're repeating my words, they can become your words. And God can do a work in your life today. God can save you. God can change you. God can use you. So let's pray together. Just close our eyes and bow our heads. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for staining that cross for me, giving your all for me, loving me with everything. God, I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. I turn away from my sins. I receive your new life. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for peace. I thank you for life. Help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Help me to be a preacher to those around me, that we would see many come to know you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're a guest today, we just want to thank you for being with us. And I would ask you, if you wouldn't mind, stop by our VIP room to my right, your left. We'd love to meet you and get to know you. The altars are open now. We have people on the left and right that will be serving communion. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come and you can take communion. If you want prayer, there's people that will pray for you. And I just want to encourage you, if you're here and you're like, you know what? I'm still feeling it. I would encourage you, don't just walk out of those doors. Don't just go back to your normal life. Spend some time, stick around and spend some time with Jesus. Come and flood this altar, even if it's not for prayer. Just come and get on your knees because God is doing something and he wants to seal it. The enemy, when you walk out of that door, the enemy will try to rob you, will try to take it away from you like it never happened. But God wants to seal it. He wants to seal it. So I'm going to pray for you one more time. And after I pray, I just want to bless you. And after I pray, there's no final benediction. You're good to go. You can go with the grace of God. But I want to encourage you to come receive communion, to come receive prayer, to get on your face before the presence of the Lord and say, God, continue this in me. Continue this in me. Jesus, we're so thankful. We're so grateful for your life. God, we can never repay what you did for us. God, you didn't just die for us, but you died as us. God, and I know that you are doing something in every heart. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd seal it right now. I pray, God, that the victory that was won right now wouldn't be forgotten. Lord, that you would lead us in your triumphal procession. Thank you, God, for every person in this place. I pray that you'd touch their lives. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray that they'd walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness. Lord, that they would see the sick healed, that they would see the dead rise, God, that they would see blind eyes be opened, that they would see people encounter your peace and your love, that they would see people be saved, God, by you. We thank you, God, that the same Spirit that raised you from the dead lives in us. Let us walk in that. We love you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.